who's part of EcuSearch, and I said, "Do you know anything about this bones?" "Oh yeah, her body. We were walking on her body the whole entire time. I almost fell over." How do you talk to your client about this? Like, I am getting phone calls from reporters before I'm getting phone calls from the CID, before I'm getting phone calls from the base. It's really disheartening. It just really makes you think, does anyone give a damn? What is going on in our society? How is this happening?
Natalie Cuomo, I want to thank you for being with us, the attorney for the family of Vanessa Guillen, the missing Fort Hood soldier whose remains, they believe, have been found in a shallow grave near the Army installation in Texas. That does it for our show. I thank you so much for joining us. Have a safe holiday. Tomorrow, a Democracy Now! Special with Cornel West and Angela Davis. Remember, stay safe and wear that mask. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Listening to KBOO Portland,
where it is 8 a.m. on a Thursday morn. Time for Thursday Talk Radio with Linda Olsen Osterlund and Reggae Bob Hamilton. So stay tuned.
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? Sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? Sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO Thursday Morning Talk Radio. This is Linda Olsen Osterlund, and I am here with Reggae Bob Hamilton. Morning, Reggae. Bob.
Good morning, Linda. How are you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited about our show today. You've got a lot prepared for us.
Yes, we do, and thank you for KB listeners and supporters right off the top. And today, we are going to be talking about flags, monuments and statues that are coming down all over this wonderful U.S. of A. where we live today. And I hope that everyone is healthy. Besides the COVID, just whatever aches and ailments you have, or if you're down and out, please, later on today and tomorrow is another day to get healthier. And we hope that you are. And this is the quarantine show. None of us are at the station. Wonderful Linda. Sonia is there. Somebody's got to be there. Thank you, Sonia, producer Sonia. And we want to let you know that we are practicing social distancing. I think Linda and I are what?
Miles apart.
16 miles, and our special guest is like 6,000 miles away at about 10 after. So, Linda, that was our subject today. Linda Olsen Osterlund. You've been doing this for a number of years. You've been holding down this slot for how long now, Linda?
Well, I haven't really been officially holding it down. Ish would be starting with the quarantine, because we've been for a while wanting to get a new host to fill in for where Joanne Hardesty had to leave us. And we wanted that host to be as you know, powerful and good, and, you know, part of the African American community here in Portland, and all of those great things. So I've been subbing. I've been a substitute all this time. Gotcha. And I'm glad to say I found you. I, of course, always knew you, but once we talked, I said, here's a person I want for this show to there take over go. The show in the next little while. We're going to co-host for a while. We like that. We want to try that out. See how we do it. But then we'll move on to Bob will be the ongoing host of the show, and I'm very excited about that.
Right on. And for the listeners that have been listening for a while and don't know me, a lot of new people in town, I'm Portland born and raised. I've been on KB 20 years. I've had music shows, reggae shows, like tonight, 8 o'clock tonight. I'll be doing an hour of soul and then an hour of reggae. That's tonight.
All right. I think a lot of our community knows you really, really well. Sometimes there's all these morning public affairs people that don't get to, you know, don't pay attention to what's on in the evening, but I know that they've heard your voice in so many other programs that you've been the lead on and MC or hosting or part of, including the Blues Festival and Hood in the Hood and Juneteenth and MLK Day and a lot of the things that we try to do within the African American community to bring out to the public, but also many other public affairs and issues. So I've known you for a long time and always appreciated you, and I'm happy you're here.
I'm good to be here, Linda. This the recent events in our nation have stirred up the activism in me. I'm a big party guy. I'll challenge anybody to a party, but it's the activism. Now's the time to act. There's things happening that we would never have believed would happen in our lifetime, and we're going to talk about those subjects today. And then you mentioned it. I'm glad. We want to be sure to give a shout out to our station doing the Waterfront Blues Festival virtually this weekend.
Yes. Wow, that'll be the first time ever.
First time ever. See, they can't stop the boo. They cannot stop the boo, that's whatever right. It takes. By any means necessary, we will get this done. All right. So, what time do we have here? We have the wonderful time. 8:05 is good. And a couple shout outs. I'm thinking about it. I'll do a couple. If you have some stirring in the back of your head, getting ready, I want to give a big shout out to my friend, maybe your friend, and hundreds and thousands of people's friends, Portland's leader of the Black Lives Matter, Teresa Rayford. Big shout out to you, sis. Haven't talked to her in a while. Hope she's good and safe out there.
She would be a good guest for us to have, wouldn't she, going forward?
Oh, big time, big time. She's co-hosted with me a couple of shows that I let her pick the tunes and I push the buttons, and we had some good times. We'll do that some more. And of course, all those people that have been shot and killed by the police ever in time. Rest their souls. Rest in peace. Rest in strength. We hope that things happen better from this day forward.
Yeah, just in that vein, I want to shout out to Donna Hayes. She's the grandmother. I don't know her personally, though I did meet her at his funeral. She's the grandmother of Quantas Hayes, 17-year-old young man who was killed here by the police. I consider it a murder, and I believe that she does too, and she's been a staunch public figure fighting openly and bravely the forces of the government that want to deny their complicity in the murder of her son, or the responsibility, I should say. So I want to shout out to her and thank her for all of the wonderful things she does in this movement, though she certainly doesn't do it for my sake. She's clearly motivated, and I know there are I think it's the Pacific Northwest Family Circle that does car caravans for Black Lives Matter and in the name of all of those killed by the police here in Portland. They do that every Friday afternoon. So that's a really great thing going on.
Oh, wow. Okay, good to know, Lindy. You're a wealth of information you are.
Oh, thanks.
We got to put a page together so we can keep it online and keep people informed on a regular.
Yep.
Two other quick shout-outs. First of all, of our guests coming up in the next few minutes, we're going to have state representative of the great state of Mississippi, Representative Earl Banks, we'll be talking with him. He had a vote on taking the Confederate flag down in Mississippi. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have poet and activist Sir Emmett Wheatfall is going to be coming in with us. And another shout out to another poet activist that I almost got, but we just didn't have time for all of them, Black Butterfly. Black Butterfly was ready, but we just ran out of time getting ready. She'll be on sometime soon, for sure.
Okay.
Now, it's also a big thanks, happy birthday to the Honorable Supreme Court Judge Thurgood Marshall. July 2 is Thurgood Marshall's birthday. If somebody wants to learn about a great person, read about a great person, and the movie Thurgood doesn't do him justice. That's just one case in his whole lifetime. But Thurgood Marshall, happy birthday. Rest his strength, our brother.
He was the first black member of the Supreme Court. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
And made a huge mark in our society.
And Linda, imagine if as a young man growing up, you become the lawyer for the NAACP. And he would drive to meet people and drive to meet clients on big cases all across the U.S. by himself. And so many times he almost got lynched, and it was amazing. Thurgood Marshall, y'all, check him out.
Happy birthday. Did you say it was his birthday today?
Yep. July
2. Happy birthday in memory to him.
Then. Amen. Okay, we've got a clip coming right up, and then our special guest we'll be talking with, James Earl Jones, the voice, the man. James Earl Jones, a couple of years ago, he read the speech by Frederick Douglass when he spoke to the Rochester, New York Ladies Anti-Slavery Society. And then it's a trip, because he actually did this speech July the 5th, the day after.
Huh.
But I believe Sonia has it ready. We're going to do about a minute of the 4 minutes. Then we'll be speaking with our guest in Mississippi. All right.
Fellow citizens, pardon me and allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony.
Oh, that's the first 2 minutes.
That was very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, what a brave man. Smart man and gallant man, Frederick Douglass, and we're glad and lucky to have that voice, James Earl Jones, in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And yes, he is still alive.
He's old, but he's alive.
Yeah.
Are we going to go to this representative? I'm really excited that you have these kind of contacts and you're able to bring us the representative from Mississippi.
Okay. Sonia, how are we doing?
I believe we have Representative Banks on the line. Representative
Banks,
welcome to KBOO.
I'm here.
There he is. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good, good. He's here. This is Reggae Bob, host Reggae Bob, co-host Linda Olson, Austin. And we're lucky and blessed to have you on the line, sir. We used our,
thank
our
you.
Phone tree, our Facebook tree, our internet tree, and we were lucky to have you on board, sir. Can you tell us who you are, where you live, and a little bit about yourself, sir, for folks to know? Because I just
I'll be more than happy to. My name is Earl Stewart Banks. I'm a state representative. I live here in the capital of Mississippi, in the city of Jackson, Mississippi. I went to Jackson State University, Mississippi College School of Law. I have been in office now as a representative for 28 years.
Wow.
I've seen some changes here, very good positive changes. I'm a father of some children who I'm very proud of, and live from California to Philadelphia. And here, of course, in Jackson, too. So my legislative career, I'm very proud of. I've only had one opponent in 28 years of service. So I think that says a lot.
Yes, sir.
But we're very happy about our latest accomplishment here in the state of Mississippi, which is a fight that was going on when I first got elected in 1991, 1992. Which was to take down and remove and change the Mississippi state flag, which, if you did not know, if you've ever seen the Confederate flag, mm-hmm. of the Confederacy, as we call it, the Stars and Bars, that big X, that cross was in the corner of the state flag of Mississippi. And it was very insulting to us as a minority, as black people. And it was very offensive to us, and it was waved and on schoolhouses and courthouses and city council meetings, on state buildings, other government buildings, and owned by many personal people at their various homes and residences.
That's something else. I couldn't imagine. And of course,
Well, Mississippi has, in its past, has had such a horrible reputation, especially after the Civil War, during the time of Jim Crow, of race relations, of race persecutions, of racial murders. I think you can remember the story of Emmett Till, the young man who had been thinking 1955 or so, who was about 14 years old, was murdered and killed while whistling at a white woman, quote unquote. And his mama, Mamie Till, took his remains back to Chicago and told the film director there that she wanted his remains shown to the world of what they did to my son. And that was one of the pivotal movements and times in the civil rights movement in the 50s, that people understood the atrocity that black people felt here in Mississippi and across the South, for that matter. But Mississippi was the last flag, state to remove that flag, that battle flag, that Confederate battle flag from the state flag. South Carolina had a version of it. Georgia had a version of it. Other states did too. But we were the last. But this past week, we removed it. This week we removed it. We voted this past weekend to get it done. We had to go by a process because, if it wasn't for the virus, it probably wouldn't be done because we would not have been in session. But exactly. Because of the virus, we're still here. We normally go for a 3-month period, January, February, and March. First April, we're normal out, but because of the virus, we had to recess and adjourn the session for a while to get everybody wanting to go home, take a break, and see how the virus is going to hit us. And we've been struggling with that like other people have. Of course, the CARES money came in from Congress, so we had to go back in session to deal with that and finish our state budgetary process. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, of course, George Floyd's situation happened in Minneapolis. and that movie went all across the country. And there out west, you know, we watched, saw what you did in Seattle, you know, California, Minneapolis, so many, and Georgia, so many other places. And we also had protests in our city here in Jackson and other cities across Mississippi. Mississippi is a very rural state. We only have about 3 million people in our state.
Okay.
So mostly rural, agricultural farming, and so forth. Mm. But people got together, and it took the attention of people to talk about this, to march, for people to understand that in Mississippi, we are tired of this flag. We have had legislation many, many years. I have filed, others have filed, to change the flag. But that legislation would never even get out of committee to even the full floor of our state house or state senate. But I think I applaud our businesses, from local businesses to even Walmart National Corporations, to tell our leadership, to tell our Republican leadership in the state, from the governor to our speaker, lieutenant governor, and others, that this flag in Mississippi must change. It is hurting the state's image. It's hurting tourism or whatever. And it happened. We were shocked that the leadership said we need to do this. Our Speaker of the House, Philip Gunn, I applaud, because 5 years ago, he came in saying, this flag must change. And there was a move out there where people in the public saying, change the speaker, keep the flag. I mean, this flag is just you know, there's a terror of hate. There's so many people, and they say, oh, it's my heritage. It's my Southern heritage. It's not that. It's just Southern hate, because Mississippi did not adopt that flag until the Civil War was over, about 1894. And the Civil War had been over about 30 years at that time.
The flag came after the Civil War.
The flag was adopted by Mississippi after the Civil War.
Wow.
The battle flag. We had a different flag, beautiful flag, doing when we first became a state, the 19th state in the nation in 1817. We had a flag that had a beautiful magnolia tree in the Canton corner with a magnolia on it, and a beautiful flag. And that's the flag that actually flew in Mississippi during the Civil War. And this red, I call it our state Confederate rag flag, was not adopted until 1894. So, you know, to me, if you want to talk about your heritage, go back to the heritage that was in this state when we first became a state, from the time we became a territory to a state, after the Civil War. That was the flag. Go back to that. But, of course, it's the Confederacy. It's the image of your folks fought against the Republic of the United States of America. You know, they were treason. It was a treason. You rebel. You try to succeed. It was treason. And we need to look at the fact we don't need to be glorifying these people who promoted the hate. And if you look at the manifesto of the Confederate States, when they succeeded in all their statements, and including Mississippi, they talked about the federal government putting limitations on slavery. They say it wasn't about slavery, but it was. And if you go back and look at it, it was about slavery. So that battle flag that we see as black people, we knew that was a flag to fight for slavery, to enslave. You know, I can tell you that I have great-great-grandparents who are dead now, but they were slaves. They were slaves. They picked cotton.
Yep.
You know, they did other things. Doing Jim Crow, they picked cotton. I have a beautiful mother, very educated mother. But as a kid, she picked cotton. She grew up in Mississippi Delta. But that was what it was like.
That's what it was. Speaking with Earl Marks, state representative of the great state, I can say now, I can say it before, the great people in Mississippi. Now, Representative, when the vote, how did the flag vote start? When was it set up? How was it set up? And how many people voted to say yes or no for the flag to come down? What's the process like, sir?
Well, let's talk about it. Okay, let's talk about the vote. on the vote for the flag, which occurred this past Friday and Saturday. It went very fast, but we knew it was coming. The bill had been filed. The leadership, the speaker, the lieutenant governor, said they were for it. The governor was, sitting on the sideline, saying he didn't know. But when we got the lieutenant governor on board, which the lieutenant governor is a new lieutenant governor, and we have very high hopes for him, even though he's a Republican. So that vote went. We have 122 members in our House of Representatives, and we have 52 members in our state Senate. Okay. So it was a House bill, so it started in the House first. It went in the committee on rules. It came out of the committee on rules, and then we had a full vote on it on this past Saturday. The vote originally at that time was 84 to 32 against it, which was a vote to suspend the rules because we had passed all the deadlines, the introduction bill. So you can have a resolution to suspend the rules to introduce new legislation. So that was a resolution to suspend the rules and needed a two-thirds vote, needed 80 votes. And we got 85 Ooh. Votes. So we were very excited about that. And that vote also makes sure that the vote on the bill to pass will be veto-proof by the governor. If he vetoed it,
important.
We'll override it veto-proof. And then that resolution went to the state Senate, where it passed 34 to 14. Some people over there did not vote. So that was made it veto-proof also. So the next day, the bill was drafted to change the flag. And what the bill does was mean to change the flag will be taken down 15 days after the bill passed. And that the new flag will be designed by a 9-member commission, 3 people appointed by the governor, 3 people appointed by the lieutenant governor, 3 people appointed by the Speaker of the House. They will get together and work on a design, take input from the public, and they will come back in September 14th with a recommendation. And that ballot in November, when we vote for president, will have on there the choice of flag, and that at that time, Mississippi will vote it up, or the population of Mississippi will vote it down. If we vote it down, that means we don't have a state flag. And as of right now, today, Mississippi has no state flag. We took the state flag down officially yesterday.
That's a red line. That's
now,
a red line.
Has no state flag.
Hey.
Well, Representative and Bob, I don't know if you know that we had down here in Oregon, in our capital, we have an outdoor walk flag. And for years, Lou Frederick, an African-American representative to our state legislature, has been, along with other allies, has been trying to have the Mississippi flag removed and that poll be left empty. And though there was apparent agreement by the majority, the head of I think it's Peter Courtney, who has the ability to kind of hold things up, kept saying, well, let's wait for Mississippi to make this decision. I think Mississippi wants to make this decision.
Yeah.
So I found that really interesting. I didn't even know we had that flag flying anywhere public here, but it was in the walk of flags, and I'm assuming it is down now.
Yes, down. Well, if it's not, it dang sure will be soon. Well, State Representative Earl Marks of Mississippi.
Earl Banks.
Given
no me. Problem.
Talk about that, Earl. we're going to have to close you out. I can't believe we got to close you out because we have other guests. Any last words you'd like to share with us?
I want to say to you, if I may end this by saying, Mississippi is a beautiful state. We're the hostile state. I would not live anywhere else. I want to invite you people to come here, visit Mississippi. You love it.
Yes.
And I've been to Washington. I've been to California, Idaho. I've never been to Oregon. I've got to come to Oregon. I have some relatives that live in Portland. So I've got to get out there one day.
And we've got Travis Nelson. Shout out to Travis Nelson. He's next door. He's in Washington. So big up to
All right, then.
Thank you, sir, for coming in and sharing
with
us today.
Wonderful
Thank
day
you,
to you.
Thank you, Representative Banks. We really appreciate it.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, you're listening to Thursday Talk Radio. Of course, we'll get some time for some phone calls in the second half hour. We have another special guest coming. Sonia, do you have some music or speech for a minute or so while we get our next guest to go?
Shall we hear the rest of James Earl Jones reading Frederick Douglass's What is the 4th of July to the Slave?
Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty, an unholy license. Your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire.
Laurel, 30 miles north of Hattiesburg, removed the flag by executive order.
Should not be flown at any of the public facilities. I don't apologize for being emotional. I have lived through some things with this flag. And as they told Dr. King to wait, time for waiting is over.
Mayor McGee, Laurel, Mississippi. Yes, very emotional event. Ceremony taking down the flag there in Laurel, Mississippi. Indeed, indeed. All right, is our next activist guest ready to go? And we want to give another shout out to our producer Sonia. I mean, this is the COVID shows, right, Linda? This is COVID time.
It's much more complicated than when we're sitting in the studio looking through a window at Sonia and. And it's a whole simpler process than having to conference on everybody with multiple phone calls and multiple phone lines. And I do want you to know, the listeners out there, we do want to hear from you later. I'll give you that number now because it's got a second to get it out. So
if you've got
your pencils ready or don't know it by heart, it is 503-231-8187. That's the phone line to call into KBLO. We know we've got a lot of information for you today, but we also do want to hear from you about how you've been experiencing this, of all this list of statues and Confederacy symbols coming down.
Yeah.
You know, here in Portland, here in Oregon, the Pioneer statue, I think at University of Oregon, was the first one to be toppled. That was June 11th. Mm-hmm. And then June 14th here in Portland, the Thomas Jefferson statue that was outside Jefferson High School was taken down by activists. And on June 19th, the George Washington statue that was at the intersection of 57th and Sandy came down. That's a statue my husband, my ex-husband, used to baby jog my son up to almost every day for many years. And, you know, it's a testament to my own racist myopia that I never, ever thought of that statue as anything other than just this kind of beloved old statue that we went to and just recognize, you know, ongoingly in a conscious way, the insult and offense it was to all people of color and to all, and actually to all of us about what, how this country was founded. So, I texted my son down in California and he said, oh, wow, I never expected that to happen. But both of us felt it was appropriate for it.
Yep, the history books are missing about 40 or 50% of our history of this United States. And it's coming out now. It's coming out. Producer, how you doing? Do we have our guest?
Well, we're not hearing back from Sonia yet. So would you like to hear about a few more of all of the things that have come down? I can tell you my search for... I wanted a list.
Linda, right there. Flags, monuments, statues. Oh, my!
Yes, exactly. I wanted to...
Go ahead. Continue that list, please.
Well, it was a little hard to find a list because one of the things I noticed right away is that every time and no matter how I Googled it with protesters and activists in the title, like statues and monuments taken down, I couldn't find it. Almost everyone only wanted to list all of the government ones that are coming down. But I should let you know that's a huge list. I did finally find a list of ones that a small list from the BBC of ones that activists were taken down, and of course there were articles on different individuals. Let me give you a little example of the, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, there were 1,764 Confederate symbols of one sort.
I want to remind Sonia, please, whenever Sonia's ready to jump right in, because we
let us know. We want to hear our poet as soon as possible. Definitely. Okay. So I can be interrupted at any point. No problem. Okay. So that was a huge number. It was supposed to be of Confederate symbols that were publicly sponsored Confederate symbols. But I think there's probably a lot more of them when I start looking at this list. So I'm just going to go really quickly. Okay. These are ones that were toppled. One says toppled by protesters. Birmingham, Alabama, May 31st. Protesters unsuccessfully attempted to remove the Confederate soldiers and sailors monument. However, they apparently did knock down some of that. And then in Birmingham on May 31st, also, the mayor said that an expected $25,000 fine for violating the Alabama Memorial Preservation Act would be more affordable than it would be the cost of the continued unrest. And so they went that way. Fort Myers, Florida, June 1st. Removed by the Sons of Confederate Veterans. That's very good. The Sons of Confederate Veterans.
A beautiful group of people, I'm sure.
Removed a major statue from downtown. Well, they were the ones who chose to remove it in Fort Myers. So I don't know. Yeah. They might be a great
That's a good way to do it. CYA.
And then June 1 in Montgomery, Alabama. Four people were charged with only criminal mischief for the removal of a statue. They're not even telling me in this statue what list. By the way, this list did come out of Wikipedia, has a list, and this is the one. Arkansas, Bentonville, Arkansas, June 1. Plans to remove another monument. Doesn't say who.
Okay. They're coming down.
It goes on in Indianapolis on June 4th. There was a resolution by the city to remove and the Indianapolis Park Boards to remove.
I got one for you. I just got pieces of it. I mean, we can't take this down, but it's built into the wall. What is that in the Dakotas? What's those four?
Oh, Mount Rushmore. And I meant to bring that up right away. The biggest and in contention right now. And, you know, and President Trump has said he's going to go there. That were blasted into sacred territories of the indigenous people of this land. And you know, Trump is really again, you know, he's going all out to fight the renaming and the removal of monuments. And
he's stirring things up. He's trying to divide us. He's trying to get us to go at each other. It's working for some people whose ideas are different than ours, Linda. But if people are looking for righteousness and justice and they want to be the United States where we live, no, that's not the way to do it there, 45. That's not the way to do it. I sure hope our...
There is, however, a bipartisan agreement in Congress, and that includes McConnell and the minority leader of the House, Kevin McCarthy, who say that they do want a bill to rename all of the military installations that have Confederate military leaders' names on them and symbols, and there are many of them throughout the whole United States public displays on ships. And so the bill is really a good one. It will remove them not just from, you know, it will remove, it would not would just change the names of the forts and bases named after Confederate leaders, but it would go through all of the ships and aircraft and...
I got a great idea, Linda.
And take away the symbols on all of those as well.
I got a great idea, because they're going to have to take the names off and put some more names on it. How about some peace and love names? How about the USS Jimi Hendrix or the Constitutional Angela Davis, or, you know, some real cool names like that. We'd really be cool then. We'd really be. And Abby Hoffman. Let's get Abby Hoffman an aircraft carrier. Come on.
Well, and we can't say, you can't state too strongly how this is only a result of the massive uprising that's going on around this nation.
True that, Linda.
Black Lives Matter.
Well,
absolutely, you know that Representative McConnell and Kevin McCarthy would not have supported this, and so would not have many of the Democrats who would like to pretend that they're great leaders in this now. So this is really, this is thank you, this bill that's in Congress, is this fight against Trump, or this is thanks to all of the protesters out there, including all of you here in Portland who have been out in the streets, and I really appreciate you for taking our country in a new direction, or certainly pushing it hard.
Now, Linda, I want to make sure, our wonderful producer, I'm sure she's working hard over there. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm going to prepare a Mississippi poem by our Mississippi...
Oh, great.
By our Mississippi activist guest, not Mississippi activist guest, but he has something about Mississippi and George Floyd. So if we miss out technically what's going on, our man Mr. Emmett Wheatfald, we sorry about that, but I will definitely, as I'm Googling here, I'm going to try to get this to play on one of my devices here.
Bob,
yes,
we have Mr. Wheatfall on the line.
Hello.
Thank you, Sonia.
Hello, Mr. Emmett Wheatfall. How are you, sir?
How are you doing, friend?
We're good. We're good. Sorry for the delay, but we're going to just jump right in. Tell us for about 10 seconds, and then tell us about your poem about George Floyd, and you can let us and do it, please, for us. KBOO. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Emmett Wheatfall.
Yeah, it's just good to be with you. I was asked by the NAACP if I would write an elegy in honor of George Floyd, who was murdered by a Minneapolis supposed law enforcement officer. In 6 seconds, this black man's life was snuffed out. And so I delivered this at Harry Strunk Law, one of the early rallies in memoriam to George Floyd. If you'd like, I can do a poem for you right now.
Yes, please, we do.
An elegy for George Floyd. My fellow citizens, in the immortal words of the late, great Martin Luther King Jr., we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In essence, we've come here to recall that despicable horror of police brutality, namely the murder of another black man, George Floyd. George Floyd of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Colin Kaepernick, another black man, took a knee for racial and social justice. George Floyd, cuffed, held face down on that dirty asphalt street, part and parcel in the land of the free, land of the brave, took to his neck that white cop's knee. So, we, people of color, with many of our white brothers and sisters shout, justice, oh justice, where are you? We hear George Floyd echo Eric Garner, I can't breathe. We hear Floyd cry out, please, please, I can't breathe. My stomach hurts, my neck hurts, everything hurts. They're going to kill me. Mama, mama. So we people of color, with many of our white brothers and sisters shout, justice, oh justice, where are you? In a nation striped and cloaked in red, white, and blue, George's life was stopped, cop wearing his dress duty blue. That white cop did what COVID-19 could not do. George Floyd was dead before the code blew. Justice, oh justice, where are you? George was a son of America, the seed of a black man, the fruit of a black woman's womb. Therefore, we abhor the murder of this black man named George Floyd. America, the great black intellectual Ta-Nehisi Coates has said, in America, it is tradition to destroy the black body. Oh, America, the black body is beautiful. George Floyd was beautiful. America, the poet Langston Hughes is noted for having said, I too am America. My fellow citizens, George Floyd too was America. So we people of color, with many of our white brothers and sisters, echo, we can't breathe. We breathe. We breathe. We
breathe.
An elegy for George Floyd.
Thank you, Mr. Emmett. We, I wish we had more time. How can folks get a hold of your work, Emmett? And thanks for activists. You spoke at many rallies around the area. Tell us how people can get a hold of you and your work, sir. You're putting in great work, and we thank you.
And can we see this poem anywhere? Can we read it and share it with people?
I can repost it to my website. Yeah, but if people would just go to emmettweetfall.com, E-M-M-E-T-T, Wheatfall, W-H-E-A-T as in Tom, F as in fall, wheat like wheat bread, fall like fall down, one word, emmettweetfall.com. They can get everything, bio, contact information, schedule, all that information can be found at my website.
Thank you, Emmett. You came through strong as always. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Hey, Linda, I guess it's rapid fire time. Listeners and callers, you know, sorry for the COVID situation, but I'm going to just listen to callers and talk with callers the rest of the show, I hope. How about you, Linda?
Yeah, I think that sounds great. Sonia, do we have any callers on the line?
At the moment, the lines are clear.
Yay. I mean, so, yay in the sense that we can say 503-231-8187. We want to hear from you. This was jam-packed with really good voices and information for you today. I loved having the representative Earl Banks from Mississippi tell us all about the history and the removal of the flag that they just did.
That's called K-Boo's Connections. K-Boo's Connections.
Yeah, that's really great. And then K-Boo. The Emmett Wheatfall, his wonderful poem. So call in, talk about the removal of these symbols. Talk about what it's meant to you and your thoughts about it. 503-231-8187. And yes, Bob, what did you want to say?
I guess Sonia, cut in any time. Linda and I are going back and forth, waiting for wonderful callers. Don't forget, we are community radio, funded, mostly by you, the listeners. And if you go to the website, kboo.fm, kboo.org, in the top left, top right corner, you can bring out the sun. The sun is up there. Click donate, and you can get some sun, some more sun in your life while we're waiting for the sun here in Portland.
Meanwhile, you know, Brian is on the line.
Yes. Hey.
Brian, go ahead. You're live.
Yeah, hi. Hey, thanks for the show today. Really, really great. I was just going to say, you know, I'm white from South Carolina, and I often say it's a great place to be from, and I moved away early, and I kind of pushed against some of the ideas that I had when I was small, and I always considered myself anti-racist and pushed against that. But in the last number of months, I can't believe how much I've learned and how I've been part of the thing that I was so against. And you know, these statues, I didn't realize, because of my privilege, I didn't realize the message that they brought. I didn't even realize that all these bases, names derived from Civil War, from Southern leaders. I didn't realize that stuff. Realized
it,
how they had put in place after Civil War. It's almost like it was undercover or whatever. I can't think of the word. They instilled all these things in our culture and in our systems to keep that Confederate message alive. It's been such so eye-opening, and what an education.
Amen. Thank you, Brian, for sharing with us. And from South Carolina.
Good place to be from, but
friends and family there, and y'all still get together as they're getting it right. They're getting it right now.
Yeah. It's been an amazing education, I also wanted to pass on that I'm out here in Troutdale or Springdale, Corbett area, kind of out east, kind of getting away from the liberal Portland area. But we had a Black Lives Matter gathering, protest on the Columbia River Highway going through Corbett last Saturday, and I couldn't believe how many people showed up. We were keeping our distance, wearing our masks, and had a gathering with a young lady from the area that grew up there talking, and it was great. I just wanted to pass that along if you didn't hear about it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, very much.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. That's how we're going to do it, folks.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. And thanks for telling us his own history and how this time has been changing us, because I think for all of us, it's really been a challenge to go, oh, I really am racist. I didn't realize I had that blindness. And you know, that sounds silly, and we do have a responsibility to know. And so now we're picking up that responsibility, and maybe some of us did before, maybe even 40 years ago, you know, like I did, joining a Black Panther support group.
Yep.
But that doeped mean that we weren't raised and steeped in it, and that because of white privilege, but I've been allowed to be blind to so much that continues.
It's an amazing time.
All of my adult life, actually even as a child.
Linda, what happened was, it was the history books that we were taught in school. They only said the good parts, the white parts. They didn't say how the slaves built so many things, how the black people built the Washington, D.C., the White House, designed by black men, built by black folks. That's not in the books, not too recently, and everything's coming out. Everything's coming out in the wash, and the next couple of weeks, couple of months, maybe even a couple of years, you never know how long that I'll be in this time slot. Used to be our city councilwoman, Joanne Hardesty's slot for years and years, and we should try to continue that tradition here.
I think we can actually even say decades with that, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Hey, Sonia, do we have another caller on the line yet?
I believe Molly is waiting. Molly,
great.
Go ahead. You're live.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to have the conversation, so to speak. And the education aspect of that is what's really driving me to, for instance, call in now, because I watched a NewsHour last night, and they had the book of the month was American Spy by a young black African-American woman, Lauren Wilkinson. I ordered the book, and I'm really looking forward to reading it. And I had recently read in the New York Times, and it came out plenty of other places, Carolyn Randall Williams wrote on June 26th, my son's birthday, I have rape colored skin. My light brown blackness is a living testament to the rules that practices the causes of the Old South. And it's a fantastic article that could be seen that she wrote. And it just really cuts to the bone. And all that's coming out now is so fantastic in so many ways, because it's an education. I appreciate, I only have a few dark colored skin friends. In my day we said black is beautiful. I would like that to come back. And I have a pin that says black history is my history, and I don't have black skin, but I marched with Dr. King back in the day and have fought the fought
Molly,
in my own way. And I think it's a, you know, all colored skin, you know, the character of the person fight. And I'm just so glad to see how it's been burst open to educate everybody. We do have a systemic racist country, and we need to get past that. And, you know, recognizing it, all these monuments coming down is great, because it, you know, we've got to get back to being one people altogether, where we aren't counted by the color of our skin, and people with dark skin don't have to be afraid, you know, of the police.
Molly,
and
is,
I just,
is it okay? Molly,
I'm glad
you,
that we're talking about it.
Yeah, Molly, is it okay with you if our producer Sonia got your phone number off the air, and we can stay in touch with you on future events, and you can tell us a little bit more about Marching with King? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Thank
That'd
you, Sonia.
Fine.
Thank you, Molly, very much.
Yeah, I got tear gas back in the day. The Poor People's March. The Poor People's March in Washington. I was there.
Oh. Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you, Molly. All right. Rapid fire. We'll take one or two more on, I hope. Sonia, how you doing? How we doing? Got another caller?
Not yet. We got a line open at 503-231-8187 if someone else wants to join the conversation.
With just a few minutes to go. Linda, how do you usually do it when you're up against the top and you got just a couple of minutes left to go? What's your experience?
Well, I keep begging for the callers, because I really do want to hear what they have to say. We've had two really great callers already.
Yes.
I like that she gave us a reference there, Carolyn Randall Williamson, and something she's written about it, so I can look that up on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I like to let people know how much I appreciate them, and that this topic is just beginning. This is the first time we've talked about this way on the show, and we will be revisiting this and other topics more. And we are, you know, we're counting on you, the listener, to bring us so much information. I know for myself, Bob, when I'm looking out at the world right now, there is so much happening, and it's hard to keep track of. And I count on you, the listener, for knowing stuff we don't know. Stuff I can't bring you, and you telling us about it, because that goes out to the rest of the community. So it's your voice out to the community.
Yeah,
so give us a call, 503-231-8187. We got a couple minutes for you.
We are the conduit. We are the joiner. Yeah, we'll throw the subjects out there. We'll get more time for more folks later. Sonia, just jump right in when we get a caller, if we do.
I have one little fact, which is Trump has threatened to actually veto a defense bill.
We'll veto him.
No. Sorry. But I think that's hysterical, because, of course, he's raised the defense budget so high. It's absolutely ridiculous. But now, to maintain Confederate symbols on the military, he will even veto a defense bill.
That tells you
the depth of his racism, and how much he is willing to play, how much he's willing to use racism to try to fight back.
He's continuing his nasty march. One more big event this weekend on Saturday, July the 4th. Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to be doing his Stop Criterion speech. Check your listings for time and place and online. Sister Imani Muhammad, big shout out to Sister Imani for reminding us about the wonderful work of Minister Louis Farrakhan this Saturday. Criterion. Check it out. Okay, Sonia. Anybody else before we might just be gone?
Yep, the lines remain quiet And at this time, at this point, yeah, it's time to wrap it up.
Do you have some music from Bob that you'd like to take us out with, Sonia?
Well, how about we can finish up with James Earl Jones? We can finish up with James
Earl
Jones.
Oh, that would be great. That's right. You wanted? Yes, I want to hear that. Yes.
Okay, Linda. Once again, thank you, Linda. Another great show by us.
If we must look for ourselves.
Okay. And all the listeners, thank you, callers, listeners, Travis, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Sonia, thank you very much. Okay. We'll be back next week, Thursday, 8 a.m.
Fire. It is not a gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
Those of the zombies of salvation, wasting time.